from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net bonus podcast. My name is Jacob Fortan.
And I'm Krista Hendricks. Again!
Again, yes, because as I've mentioned before, we have no internet, so I've had to force Krista to do two shows in a row.
That's okay, I'm happy to. It's been a while since I've done any show, so I'm actually all excited.
Yeah, well, you were just happy that people were like, on the last show, whoa, what a great show, and yay, we love Krista. And apparently everybody got your Monkey Tuesday thing.
Woo, Monkey Tuesday!
Despite the fact that I have no idea what that is.
That makes me so happy that people were all excited about Monkey Tuesday.
It kind of told me that there might be a really common thread between lots of listeners. So first they listened to Pendulette, and then they listened to me, and then apparently they had the courage to get rid of their religion. I like that trend.
It's a good trend.
Yeah. I mean, that makes me feel like I have purpose, because otherwise I always felt kind of like the bit of the third wheel in atheism. Like, why do you need the good atheist? Seriously, there's just so many other atheists out there that are providing you with service.
But it takes all types, right? And I think for me, when I first started listening to The Good Atheist, it was, well, one, again, the audio quality was really nice.
That is actually a second comment was like, wow, the audio quality was good, so I started listening. Yeah, that's why I encode them really well. I know how shallow people are, and they want good audio quality.
It's not shallow. It's just that, you know, the way it works with podcasts is that you log on, and you basically download all of them, right? And then you listen to one episode of each. At least that's what I do, and I think that's what a lot of people do. And you're looking for any excuse to whittle down the list, right? So audio quality is one of those first things where you're just like, oh, well, these three are a little hard to listen to. I'm not going to listen to them. And then there's these two.
I never even understood people who have the low quality audio. I could understand 10 years ago or maybe more. Remember what you had? There's this vlogger that Krista loves. His name is Zay Frank. Did I say that correctly? Okay. And this guy was doing video. Well, he put up a website. What was it? What year was it? 1997 or something?
I don't think it was quite that early, but no. At all. But it was quite a while ago.
Quite a while ago. So, anyways, he puts up this website. It goes viral, and all of a sudden, he finds himself with how much in fees for server?
I'm not sure. Fees? You can look up his TED Talk. He talks about how, you know, he posted this little thing on the web for this party he was doing, and it went viral, and then, yeah, they called him, and they're like, you owe thousands of dollars in hosting fees. Google Zay Frank TED Talk and watch it. He was one of the founding, you know, vlogger, video, viral people on the internet, and he's just a really cool guy. He actually started a new series as well. He took kind of a sabbatical away from the internet and making web content for a good long time, and now he's doing more stuff, and it's pretty
I don't
good.
Like him.
Yeah, you don't like a lot of
I don't
people.
Like a lot of vloggers. This is the same reason why people were like, why don't you start a vlog? I hate
vlogs.
Do
you like any vlogs?
You know what? Here's what I don't mind. I don't mind the science blog guys from your Vlog Brothers. I actually like those two, except for I like the other brother less because he's religious, and I'm not cool with that. Yeah. He's a religious apologist. It doesn't matter how you frame it. He's got nice things to say about religion, and I don't. And his brother, because he wants to have a good relationship, he also sidesteps that issue, even though he's totally an atheist. So, I mean, I like these guys, and I think they do good work. Don't get me wrong. But I just, you know how I get with this weak sauce atheism bullshit. I'm like, not on my watch.
Yeah.
Not on my
watch. Oh, this is kind of an opportunity for me to plug my thing.
Mm.
This happened really naturally.
Yeah. You go ahead and you plug your vlog.
Hey, so. I have a vlog. You know, I have this tendency to do all the things that Jake hates. Like, Jake doesn't listen to podcasts, so I started a podcast, and Jake doesn't watch vlogs, so I started a vlog. I don't know why that's the trend of things I do.
It makes sense.
Life.
Totally makes sense.
But I decided to, last year I did a bunch of challenges, and I wrote about it. But I have a lot of trouble writing for the internet.
Yeah, you went to French immersion school, so miraculously, your grammar is worse than mine.
Well, it's not just that. It's not just that the grammar and the spelling is atrocious. It's mostly that I'm very self-conscious about my writing, because I used to be a really good writer, and now I'm not. you know, I was a really good writer for high school, and I haven't really progressed at all. So I'm very sensitive. So I think I wrote probably 7 times more articles than I actually posted, and it was just a waste of my time. But I am really good at editing video, and I thought that this year I would do another set of challenges because last year was really fun. But this time I would try vlogging about it instead of writing about it and seeing if that was a little bit of a better experience for me and would be easier to be more consistent. So I'm starting this vlog project. It's called, right now the working title is Geek Reborn. And the concept is that when I was about 14, 15, I had this opportunity to kind of join the cool kids. And up until then, I'd been just the biggest geek you've ever seen, just this giant raging geek nerd. And I sort of hid that part of my personality to try and fit in with the cool kids, but I never really did fit in. And it was actually a huge mistake, and I do regret quite a bit of it.
And now you're trying to recapture old glories.
Right.
And new glories.
Right. So for the year, I'm going to, you know, I go to comic conventions and I talk to my geeky friends and they talk about things and I feel like I'm left out of a lot. You know, I don't play video games as much as I would like, and I've kind of still shied away because in that time period of not doing those things, not doing those nerdy things, in my mind, I think I made them out to be these bad things, and I don't allow myself to indulge in them. So the whole point is to, like, create challenges to force myself or allow myself to indulge in these nerdy fun things.
I've got her addicted to SimCity 4, although luckily now she's kicked the addiction. I did what any good parent does when they're trying to get someone off their addiction, is that you overdose them on it until they're so sick and tired of it, they never want to do it. You know, it's kind of like, smoke this entire carton of cigarettes.
Although I will say, you mentioning SimCity has made me want to go play SimCity.
You know what? The only time I ever want to play SimCity is when I'm in a plane, and I look down, and I'm like, I think I could plan this urban area better.
I've been walking through our downtown core being like, I think it's interesting that some of these buildings are underdeveloped. I think they should knock them down and see if business come in and
it's
build taller
buildings. It's not that
easy.
I mean, it's really easy when you play in SimCity, but in real life, a little bit harder.
Yeah.
So yes, what's the... Where should they look for your vlog? What should they type in? I mean, there'll be a link on the show, but people don't really just do links. They're just listening. So give them some searchable shit so they can find you.
Well, if you search my name, it's on my website, on the main page of my website.
There you go. It's CarissaHendricks.com.
Or if you go to YouTube and you type in Geek Reborn, I'm pretty sure it's the first, the first page.
No guarantees there. But you probably know what she looks like, so go check it out. All right, enough of your plug-ins.
Sorry.
That's good. Hey, this is a bonus show, so we're allowed plug-ins?
We were talking about vlogs, and then I was like, hey, I'm doing a vlog. I do all the things you hate.
You know what, though? I think that that's adequate payment for all the times that I get you to do this show, and all I pay you is really horrible beer. Horrible beer.
What are we drinking?
We're drinking Boxer
Lager. Never, ever buy Boxer Lager.
It's nasty.
Awful. They lied. They say it's the beer of champions, but it makes me want to rip my tongue out.
Champion of sick. Okay. Ugh. Today on the show, it's going to be a little bit of a grab bag. Topics that I've wanted to talk about, but haven't been able to. And as some of you know, still no internet, but internet's coming Sunday, which means that by the time the internet comes, everything will be much more organized and will be awesome again.
Also, we received a pretty amazing donation
from an anonymous fan.
So we actually have a bit of money to go buy
furniture.
Desks.
Oh my god,
furniture. And a bed.
Yeah.
So hopefully by the time we do the show on Tuesday, we will be in very good spirits. We will have the internet and we will have desks. Because again, right now we are sitting in fold-out lawn chairs and sleeping on a blow-up mattress. And that constitutes the entirety of all of our furniture.
I hate them so much. Hate them. Okay. So the grab bag that we're actually going to talk about, this is one thing, I mean, if you've been following the news, you know that this is the big issue because, you know, an election's coming up. And like all elections, the thing is nobody ever talks about issues that are actually important to your life, let's say like the economy or the fact that there's still like a war going on and things like that. So instead, everyone has sort of focused on gay marriage. Now, about a week ago, I remember I posted on Twitter some piece of news about gay marriage, and a fan wrote back and said, "Can you call it marriage equality?" And I responded rather negatively to that because as anybody who knows me will say, I don't like being told what to do.
Also, you are probably the least PC person ever, other than George Carlin.
Okay, fine. I'm very anti-PC, although you know that I have some, for some weird reason, I now have given up ever using the word gay as a slur. Despite the fact that I just use almost everything else as a slur, this one, I feel uncomfortable about it. You know how sometimes people use gay as an, oh, that's lame. You know, oh, that's totally gay. And it's like reclaiming the word. I understand why people use it, and I won't really talk smack to anybody who does, especially if I know the history of their support of, you know, gays. But I guess when I think about it, I feel bad at all the times where I did say where I didn't feel that way, or I was using it with, you know, in a derogatory fashion. And I suppose that part of me still feels like guilty about that. I still feel like a piece of shit. And you know who I used to joke about gay stuff with all the time?
Jeff?
Yeah. Yeah. All the time. And I just keep thinking about all the conversations we had where we were just laughing about it. And we probably shouldn't have laughed about it because it wasn't really that funny.
This is a bonus podcast. I was going to say, for those viewers who this is the first time listening, Jeff is another co-host, but this is a
bonus show.
So you guys know who Jeff is.
Yeah, this is a bonus show, and probably some of you know, there was one question I didn't get to answer last show, which I'll answer now because I'm sure the person who asked is actually a member. And they're like, hey, that last show with Jeff, is that a one-time thing, or is he going to come back? The answer to that question is, it's up to Jeff. It's not up to me.
Hint, hint, pressure the crap out of Jeff, people.
No. He doesn't really respond well to pressure. Encourage him instead.
Fan mail?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe
Bleeding?
Fan mail.
What about stuff that's like, oh, we miss Jeff. We miss him. Is that too pressure-y?
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. I think if you just sort of say, we miss you, we love you, come back on the show, I could probably have a much easier time getting him back on. Because, you know, he would be a perfect person to talk about this show with, considering he's my gay correspondent. But, yeah.
Instead, he got to talk to me about it.
Right. Well, I'm going to talk at you with it, is what I do. That's what I do. I don't talk with people. I talk at people.
I love scrubbing the episodes, the audio of the episodes that we do together.
It's
and it's just like, Jake talking. No matter what random point, do it for the show. No matter what random point you scrub to in the audio, it'll probably be Jake talking. Almost.
But I think about
85%
of
the time.
I would say it's probably 85-15 of me yabbity-yabbing. But The Good Atheist has my face on it. So unless you want to do 50% of the talking.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there you
I'm
go.
Not complaining. It's just an interesting point.
It is a bit of a curiosity, the yappity-yappy.
I might do a little more talking this time because I don't want to drink this beer, so.
Well, I'm going to drink it for you because I'm almost out of this and I don't want to go to the fridge to get another one.
Okay. Yep. It is awful.
I know it's awful.
How are you even drinking this?
Well, I have low beer standards.
Hey, can I talk about the cool beer thing in our building?
No.
All right.
We're going to move on. Here's what we're going to talk about. Number one, and this is the first thing that I didn't get to mention because I wasn't doing podcasts at the time, and this was such a big deal, and we're going to talk about the reverberations of this, is that President Obama, finally, after all this fucking time, has come out in support of gay marriage. Now, before I say what kind of support that is, it's important to remember the fact that he's basically said that it should still be a state-by-state right. And he said this at a time in which it's pretty fucking guaranteed that he's going to win the presidency. Like, I can't imagine a world in which Mitt Romney could win. Like, I don't know what would happen. Maybe everybody forgot it was Election Day, except for, like, religious conservatives who somehow forgive the fact that they hate Mormonism, but they just don't like Barack Obama more. Yeah. So he basically said that his views had evolved and that now he supported it. And a couple days after that happened, there were a number of world leaders that came forward. I believe I don't know if it's a prime minister or president, probably prime minister of Ukraine, said that he was also thinking about doing something about it. The new leftist prime minister of France has said that he's putting into motion legislation that would allow gay marriage and adoption. And the most important aspect of all of this is that in a recent poll, Obama was voted the most respected world leader. And this is why I think it's actually such a huge fucking deal, because it's not about what the states will do. Because, again, it's a state-by-state issue, and apparently most states, like North Carolina, do not want gays to even be together.
Hmm.
You know, they would rather cousins marry than gay people having the butt sex. But, I mean, think about it more in terms of the ramifications of it on a more global scale, all right? And this is what's most exciting about it, because I think that this is still one of those things where, you know, when you're fighting for marriage equality, you realize that, like anything, like a pendulum swing, the more strength one side gets, the more momentum you have, the more that momentum will shift to the other side as well. And this is why you saw in North Carolina when they, Amendment 1, when it passed with an overwhelming majority, which was very confusing to people who had been doing polls for a long time and had found that it was pretty breakneck neck. You know, like 55% were for versus 45, but it ended up being, I think, about 63%.
Oof.
And there were some theories as to why did it really get that high? You know, what the hell caused it to be that, you know, that much of a significant difference? Now, there's a couple of reasons. The first one is that normally people lie when you give them surveys. And they will lie to make themselves appear less like a piece of shit. Right? So obviously, if you ask someone, hey, are you against marriage equality? They may say no. Or if you ask it in a different way, or are you against gay marriage? They might say yes. It's a weird thing about how questions are posed that actually tend to make polls very inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
And more dependent on how the question is asked, more than what the result will be. There was also a lot of people who thought that because there wasn't enough time to raise awareness about Amendment 1 in North Carolina, that's another reason that it passed, because people didn't really realize that it was also banning civil unions, which was still an overwhelming majority of people in North Carolina were supportive of same-sex unions, but didn't realize that Amendment 1 basically took away every single right of people who had those same-sex unions. So that disparity there is a good indication that the fact that the very conservative element of America is going to push back. Now, with that in mind, again, like, you know, with President Obama going forward and saying he's in favor of gay marriage, it's still a risk, all right? A very brave risk. And you know what happened the day of that he declared this?
Hmm.
He had to call a meeting with a whole bunch of black religious leaders who were very upset at what he had said. Because apparently,
oh, goodness,
a vast majority of African Americans are unaware of something called irony. You know, where they just don't even know. Be like, hey, you know what civil rights were? Did you just fucking forget? Because it doesn't just apply to skin pigmentation, which you can't choose. It also applies to sexual orientation. But, you know, African Americans are overwhelmingly a very, very religious group. I think it's, in terms of Americans, it's 86% of them declare that they're very religious or
wow,
moderately religious, compared to about 64% for, Caucasians. So this is a significant difference, and it normally is one of the main reasons why African Americans overwhelmingly vote in favor of legislation that is very, very anti-equality. And, you know, it just, it's one of those things that drives me crazy, where as soon as President Obama says, yeah, I think that every citizen should have the same rights, and he has black leaders who are like, I don't think that's right. I totally disagree with this, and I really don't like the lifestyle. A couple of, like, last night, me and Carissa watched a documentary called Because the Bible Tells Me So. And it's a documentary that's actually, it's obviously filmed by people who are religious.
Oh, quite clearly.
Because it's framed in a religious way. And they try to make the argument using religious leaders that gay marriage is okay, and that, you know, really honestly, people who try to use the Bible to defend it are picking and choosing, which is true.
And also taking it out of context. I think the film was trying to drive home that the Bible must best be interpreted, or is best interpreted, when we consider the context in which it was written. And how, at the time, you know, they talk about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, and how really that story is about hospitality because of the nature of the culture at the time.
And
yeah, about shame.
Like the anal rape that the people want to, you know, like the people showing up being like, bring out your two guests so that we may know them.
People might need a bit more of a context. So in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, two angels show up at whose house again?
Lot, who's Abraham's cousin.
Right. And a mob shows up at the house and says, bring out those two angel-like men to us so that we may know them, as in butt rape them. And but it's about, the historians are saying that in context of the situation, it's really about, you know, when you would conquer a nation, a lot of the time you would rape a citizenry because it would be more about shaming that culture.
Humiliation.
Because, I mean, you can't just conquer a nation and expect it to be conquered, right? You need to conquer them psychologically as well.
Well, you know, it's very similar to the way that wolves, alpha males, when they fight for dominance, the loser gets butt raped. That's what happens to him. So, because he will learn a lesson. Rape is apparently a lesson of nature. Yeah, it's a brutal world out there, huh?
So,
nature is a fucking bitch who
so
will rape you.
So glad to be
you.
Human.
Yeah, I mean, we still do that, but it's lessened over the years. Very, very lessened. So much so that we were actually shocked when it happens. And that's great. We should be shocked. It is a violation, and that's exactly what they wanted to do. So the movie itself kind of tries to portray the situation. Like it talks a lot about individuals who are still religious and how they've had to deal with siblings or with children that are gay. And, you know, the first part is there's three main families. There's an African-American family whose daughter is a lesbian who managed to still sort of like have a good relationship despite the fact that their parents insultingly say that they don't approve the lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
which is one of those things that every time somebody says lifestyle, I want to punch them in the face. I'm like, is interracial marriage a fucking lifestyle? Huh? It's insulting.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fucking insulting, but I tried to sort of like swallow that and say, well, they're still being loving and they still support her and love her, which is really is the most important thing. Because when you think about the real tragedy of being gay, it's the fact that your family disowns you, it's the fact that you're isolated, and that gays are 3 to 7 times more likely to commit suicide because of those fucking factors.
Well, and in the last show, there was an interesting question that was asked where I don't remember who it was, but somebody very smartly was saying that is being angry and yelling and kind of rude the best way to convert people? And we talked about how it's not really our responsibility to convert people, and that's not really what the show is trying to do. It's more about rallying the troop. It's more about people who are already doubting and you know, providing them an opportunity to be as angry or listen to somebody who's as angry as they are on the inside about religion in our society. But what's interesting about this documentary is this documentary kind of follows that line of thought where it's coming from a religious perspective. It is in a lot of ways apologetic, but that might be a good thing, because think about how much more effective it is for religious people or people who are, you know, gay bashing to watch a documentary like that from a religious perspective, talking about how, well, the Bible really does say it's okay to be gay, or at least not that it's the worst thing ever to be gay. And look at all these wonderful Christian families that have done the Christian thing and accepted their sons or daughters or siblings or whatever. And I think, you know, the documentary is annoying for us to watch because
very annoying.
It placates like a motherfucker.
It seems to sort of like, well, the part that annoyed me the most is obviously someone saying, well, you know, you have to interpret the Bible for today's society. I'm like, what the fuck is the point of it? I mean, you understand that if you're saying it has to be interpreted, then what you're basically saying is that you should read it however the fuck you want to read it. So what the hell is the point of this thing? I mean, like, anyone is going to interpret it the way that they want. It will not change the way that they see the world unless they have other forces that allow them to change, like, which is why the second family, which is this woman who had a gay daughter who wrote her a letter, the daughter wrote basically a very emotional, very heartfelt coming out letter. And the mother just responded because she had been listening to James Dobson, or I forget what his name is, Focus on the Family. She'd be listening to his radio show for a long time. So when she read that letter, she just responded in the most vile and poisonous way. And then about a year later, her daughter killed herself. And you know, it's a bit too late to learn that lesson of saying, maybe I shouldn't have listened to this fucking hate monger, and now I've realized that I was wrong. And sure, she's dedicating her life to try to make sure that other people are not as hateful. But I gotta tell you, I mean, when you realized yourself that your problem with homosexuality was really just sort of like something that had been stirred up by religion and you look for religion for the answer, what a goddamn mistake. Because why wouldn't you change your mind? You have plenty of reasons to keep fucking switching back and forth if you're saying, I don't know where I get my morality from, so I'm just going to go grab it from the fucking Bible.
You know what I would be interested to find out? Because, I mean, a lot of the good points in the movie that were made were that, yes, okay, let's pretend in some fantasy world that the Bible does literally say that homosexuality is wrong.
And, well, it does say that.
Well,
in, like, Romans and Leviticus. Yeah. It says it is an abomination.
Yeah, but there was a lot of people, a lot of historians on there arguing what abomination meant.
Oh, yeah, yeah, reinterpreting abomination. Let me tell you something. Abomination means you do not do or you're killed. That's pretty clear.
But the film also does a really good job of saying, well, wearing clothing of mixed fibers or working on the Sabbath are also called abominations and things like that. And how, you know, we really do pick and choose as a society which of the original rules of the Bible we choose to follow. I mean, A.J. Jacobs' book, A Year of Living Biblically, shows that perfectly. Because, I mean, he lives by all those crazy bullshit rules and his life is very dramatically altered in comparison to what your average North American lifestyle is. So if we're really living by every single thing the Bible says, then we should all live A.J. Jacobs' Year of Living Biblically. And even he didn't do everything that the Bible said.
Well, it's impossible.
Well, it is actually
612 rules, the Pentateuch. You can't fucking live up to those rules. And, you know, the reason why those rules existed and were enforced, actually, has a lot to do with the diaspora. Basically, when the Babylonians sacked, what was then, I guess, Judea, and sent the Jews into exiles, the rules of the Old Testament became a way for Jews to differentiate themselves from others, right? Like, you can tell archaeologically where Jews were by the fact that there are no pork bones, you know? This is a very important distinction for them. And you notice that also this becomes really important during the Hellenization of Jews, where, you know, there's a bunch of Jews that are like, we want to be Greek because it's like America, right? It's fucking culturally dominant. They've got gyms, they've got philosophy. This is all really exciting. And then what happens? Well, then you get like the Maccabees, who are just a bunch of crazy radicals who say no to this Hellenization, just have a giant rebellion against the Seleucid Empire, which is basically the Empire of Alexander the Great. This is their way of trying to reclaim this. So the rules are a way to create an otherness, a distinction. And that's why they're so important. Now, in a way, the abomination is basically a very important frame to say these people who do it are evil. And remember, this is ancient Greece, so there's lots of butt-fucking going on anyways. I like how one of the historians is like, there was no Greek word for gay. I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
But I'd really be interested to find out why it was that the certain rules were picked out and held above others. Now, why is it that Christianity isn't hyper-focused on the rules like not wearing cloths made of two fibers? Why is that not one that we stuck around, that was important to us? Why did gay marriage or marriage equality become such an issue?
Well,
I don't understand.
It's just, well, if you think about it, like, I use this example all the time, but in the 1950s, the Southern Baptists, they used to argue for religious freedom in terms of their ability to segregate blacks from whites. Because there was plenty of biblical passages that would allow you to prove this, right? The truth is, you create your own moral framework, and then you find whatever other substrata that you can to prove it, to codify it. Because how many times would a person say, well, you know, gay marriage is an abomination because the Bible says so? There is no other reason for them to say it, in fact. Because every other reason imaginable, it's unnatural, or it's a choice, or all of these things have long since been defeated. There's nothing left except for my Bronze Age book of mythology tells me that it's wrong. And of course, I live by the Bronze Age book of mythology. No, you don't. You've never even fucking read the thing, right? And you don't care because the next passage right after, condemns shellfish, orders you or gives you a fucking list of what you're supposed to do if you sell your daughter into slavery. These are not things that anybody else would try to defend at all. But, you know, the Bible is one of those weird books that because no one has really read it, it really doesn't matter if you refute it with just this kind of, you know, unbelievable logic. They're not going to listen. They're going to say, well, yeah, maybe, but that's all in context. I mean, there's so much cognitive dissonance going on here. I can't fucking stress it. It's just, it's mad. And this is what, you know, going back to President Obama giving his support of it, this is what really drives me crazy, is the fact that there were groups of African Americans who were saying, oh, well, we might not be able to support your presidency because of that. Number one, bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to vote for Romney, you fucking liar? No. You're still going to vote for Obama. And this whole sort of veiled threat just goes to show that you're a hypocrite piece of shit. I mean, how are your ancestors going to look at you? Huh? I mean, you had an opportunity in your lifetime, right now, to fight for fucking civil rights, and you went the other way. You were just as bad as the fucking Ku Klux Klan when it came to that shit. Just as bad. You should be so ashamed. If you're fucking African American and you are against gay marriage, you should just crawl in a hole and fucking die. You were a shame to the entire civil rights movement. I cannot fucking stress this out. And every time I hear it, I feel embarrassed for humanity of saying, wow, I guess that being shit on for 400 years is still not good enough of a lesson, is it? I guess not. I mean, the most fucked up thing, too, is that there are still places where coming out is deadly. I mean, in Uganda, where you will be jailed or killed for being gay. I mean, it is disturbing. How can any fucking person of conscience accept that? I mean, if you were black and you found out that it was a crime punishable by death, I mean, back to the days of lynching, for fuck's sakes, and you're still against the lifestyle, I want to punch you in the mouth. Like, there's nothing defensible about what you say. If your defense is that it was in the Bible, I'm like, okay, well, slavery is all good, so you mind going back to the cotton fields, bitch? Like, obviously you do. And who can fucking blame you? I mean, no one wants to be enslaved. No one wants to be in jail for loving another person. And that's the most disturbing thing of it. And this is why I've actually sort of tried to reframe the whole argument, thanks to this person who Twittered me and said, please say marriage equality. And after I gave it a bit of a thought, I was like, this is how we need to reframe it.
Absolutely.
If we say gay marriage, it's got that word gay in it. And it doesn't properly prime people to understand the fact that this is not about whether or not you disagree with the way that people are having sex. It has everything to do with ensuring that every person has the same rights as other people. And when you're making constitutional amendments, like in North Carolina, that disallows people who have same-sex attraction from being together and from sharing the same rights that we share, something is wrong with you. Okay, I wish we could just sort of like hand a little card saying like, okay, here's your bigot card. You get to keep that now. Put it in your wallet. And if you're proud of it, fine. You know, there were plenty of fucking bigots in the 1930s up to the 1960s. They were very proud of being fucking bigots. And you know, as a sort of like tangent, you know who was one of the big forces that used to fight against bigotry? Superman. The Superman radio show. Like almost every show, they would give out the Ku Klux Klan's secret little password that they had sort of like, you know, their little code word. They'd give it out every fucking radio show. And if you listen to it, they would always be like, Superman broke this bigot meeting and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it was amazing. Superman fighting bigotry back in the 1930s. Superman's got to be fighting for gay rights now. I want to see a rainbow on his cape, because you know what, Superman? It's not done. We need a new radio show where Superman's flying around beating the shit out of bigots. Maybe that means you punch a few fucking black leaders right in the face. Maybe that's what happens. Maybe they need it, you know? Here's something that's still cool. Jesse Jackson has finally, he's come out again. He said, you've got to accept gay marriage. You're on the wrong side of history, my fellow pastors. And it's a really slow climb. And this is what I find still just disturbing and horrible. I mean, like, I don't mind if a bunch of Southern redneck Baptists are not able to fucking accept that reality. They've been backwards forever, since longer than I can remember, okay? But if you were fighting for civil rights just a few decades ago, there is nothing justifiable about your hatred today. I'm like, I'm sorry, guys. It's just, you know, you lost that battle. The battle for human freedom, this is where we're going. And this is why I'm glad. I'm very happy, despite the fact that, you know, I still think that Obama should not allow it to be a state issue. I'm like, there should be no constitutional amendment against it, because it doesn't make any sense. It's itself unconstitutional to make an amendment that prevents people from having the same rights as others. Like, that should not happen. But, you know, one of the things that I think is a good sign is in North Carolina, just a couple of weeks ago, there were two lesbians, or just a number of, actually, couples, gay couples, who were trying to apply for marriage certificates and getting arrested, going to jail. And, you know, it's going to take a couple of those to really start shaming the authorities and saying, like, you're going to jail these people for trying to get a marriage license. This is it. This is your highest priority. Congratulations. You're on the wrong side of history.
A big part of me hopes that, you know, this is a terrible thing, and it's embarrassing to realize that we live in a society where this is even a question. You know, should there be marriage equality? Yes, duh. I mean, I can't believe that there's...
It's a question?
I can't believe that's even a question.
It's insulting.
It's absolutely embarrassing. But I hope that people, you know, we talked last show a little bit about how, you know, the agnostic fence, and, like, the agnostic fence sitters, and the atheists that are a bit in the closet, or at least not, they're not angry yet. And I kind of hope that in 10 years or whatever, we'll look back on events like this and we'll realize that the reason why we even have to have this conversation is because of religion and because of the nonsense that's driven by religious indoctrination of children and this uncomfortable misinformation that they force on human sexuality and the way that we make us feel like there is such thing as abominations or people who are lesser than.
Yeah. Well, it's not even just gay, you know, like gay marriage. It's also the fact that religious people think that masturbation is a sin.
Well, but I think
masturbation?
That this is, yeah, but nobody's trying to outlaw masturbation right now,
oh,
right?
Yeah?
Well, what I'm saying is that it's not a big national issue. It's not a big hoopla that everybody's talking about. But I really hope that, I mean, for me as an atheist, every once in a while, I'll have to ask myself, you know, why am I so angry about this stuff? Can we all just get along? And then something like this happens and I realize, oh, wait, no. No, we can't just get along. Because these people are infringing on the rights of others because of their misinformation and their dogma,
yeah,
and their childhood indoctrination.
They're framing it as, oh, it's my religious freedom to
absolutely
hate you.
No. I mean, that's just, like, it's
wow,
not religious freedom. It's hate speech. It's bigotry. Well, and it's ridiculous.
There's one thing. If you haven't watched the movie Milk, and I know you haven't, I'm going to force
no,
you
I haven't
to watch it. Maybe we'll watch it later tonight. Because it, you know, I joke around saying I want to be like the Harvey Milk of atheism, except for I don't want to get shot. But the most important thing that I think Harvey Milk did, and this is probably I know this was the hardest thing for him to do, which was trying to force other gays to come out and to know what that meant. You know, like one fan who's actually my editor, she messaged me the other day saying, like, oh, you know, I had a fight with a family member and finally I had to sort of like confront her about it. And, you know, this was right after she listened to one of our shows. So I have no doubt in my mind that it had a lot to do with the fact that I was putting some fucking fire in her, you know what I mean? Like, just letting it under there. And it's going to make her family situation obviously a lot worse. Now, the good thing is that her mother, who she was talking about, it is kind of senile, so odds are she probably forgot about it already. But even if she didn't, I mean, there are some atheists out there who talk to me about saying, like, I don't know if I should come out to my parents. You know, like some 17-year-old who's still living at home, who's just having to face this, you know, like where their parents are trying to force them to go to, like, religious camp or trying to send them over to places in Dominican Republic, which actually has a place where they send kids to basically be re-indoctrinated, so they don't give him food. They fucking force him to run outside all the time. I think there's one in Jamaica also. It's a horrifying fucking place.
You know what's interesting about that?
What's that?
Is that the things that you just listed, like making them run all the time and limiting their contact with people and the food thing?
Yeah.
That's all stuff from Nate Phelps' lecture that he talks about his family having done to him, like the Phelps family did to their own children.
Well, the truth is, these are tried, tested, and true manners of indoctrination. They do this in the military all the fucking time to get you to be a nice little soldier who can press the trigger at another human fucking being. You can get a person to do almost anything. If you cut off their food, you scream at them all the time, you dehumanize them, you turn them into an automaton, and then you try to fill them with whatever fucking propaganda you got going on. Now, I don't know if you know this, but a little while ago, there were a couple Pentagon papers that got leaked. Some instructional videos and materials that were saying, well, you know, Islam is a big problem, and if they don't calm down, we're going to bomb Mecca. Yeah, and it's sort of like, apparently for them, that's okay. And you know what? If you force people to, you know, just basically be automatons, yeah, maybe they'll accept that. Maybe they'll think that's okay. I hope not. I hope that some of our friends in the military are like, if somebody asked me to do that, I would fucking rather go to jail. Please tell me that every single fucking person in the military that listens to this show would feel that way. Because you know what? I don't care how crazy fucked up that religion is. You're not nuking innocent people because you don't like their religion. Okay? That's not our MO. That's not how we're going to do things. As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to talk to people. That's how I'm going to do it. If I don't like someone, that's the worst that I'm going to do, is I'm going to throw insult at them. And if you're like, oh, you should be nice. Well, I'm not fucking killing anybody. I'm not breaking out my sword and impaling someone because they don't believe in my shit. No. The worst that they're going to get is a little fucking verbal bitch slap. And that is it. And if that makes me a little bad guy, well, you know what? I don't think you know what a bad guy is.
Not only that, but I think there is an important role we have in society. I mean, the importance and the power of looking at someone else and going, what? I mean, that's the reason why we can have societies, because if you wandered around naked, or all of the things that we have all for some reason decided are things that we want collectively.
Are you still talking about the naked thing?
I just started talking about the naked thing. What are you talking about?
Well, I think that you want a society in which being naked is okay.
Yeah, a lot of the day. I want a society where me being naked is okay. I don't want to have to look at, like, I get why it's not okay, because I don't want to look at everybody else's nakedness.
But you want
to
look at yourself naked?
It's not about even looking at me naked. I just like the feeling of being naked. That's the thing.
All right, fair enough.
I don't want to have to, I wish there was a way to be naked, but not have everybody know.
It's called clothing. You're technically naked,
no,
under it.
No, but it's all tight and
scratchy. Wear a muumuu. It's totally not tight. No, actually, don't worry, Moomoo. I got to look at you.
Thanks, sweetie. No, what I'm saying is that there are certain things that as a society, we have decided are unacceptable. And when people do those things, you know, when somebody approaches you on the street and they start talking drunk babble at you, you look at them like they're a piece of shit. And, you know, you and I do the same thing to believers a lot of the time, or to people who talk to us about you know, their crazy woo-woo beliefs. I mean, yesterday on Twitter, the thing that was trending was things not to say on a first date, and the thing I posted was, what's your sign? Because for me, that's just like, thank you, good night.
Yeah, I had a couple of those during my dating odysseys. There was even one woman who asked me that, and I pretty much had a one-hour argument with her. Yeah. And then, you know what the weird thing was? Like, the next day, she was like, oh, well, why didn't you email me and blah, 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 blah after? Are you serious? We had a one-hour argument about nonsense. Are you so desperate that you wanted me to call you back? We did not agree fundamentally on things.
I remember I actually got faked out. There was this one guy who had been internet stalking me after a show, and he found me on Facebook and asked me out on a date, and he was cute enough that I said yes. And he knew my stance, he knew that I was a hardcore atheist, and so he, you know, about 10 minutes into the conversation, he said, you know, I'm a Scientologist. You know,
is that a joke?
And I was upset, and I kind of started picking on him a bit for it, and then he just smiled and said, oh, I was just kidding, I've been stalking you on Facebook, and I knew that that would get a rise out of you. And I felt my whole body go, oh, thank God, oh, oh God. God, oh, God, oh, goodness.
I'm a Scientologist. Do you
oh,
want to get
my
a
goodness.
Jesus. A Scientologist. You know, I had a dream about
That's
Scientology
clever,
last night.
Really?
Yeah. It was so weird, too, because here's how it started. It started out as a mini documentary about the crew, the cast of Star Trek The Next Generation that shows up at a school. Yeah, I know, this gets pretty weird. And it's sort of like a normal thing, and they're talking to students. It felt like a 1993, like, promo for Star Trek The Next Generation. And then at some point, like, Scientology inserts itself, and then I have this weird... Because, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but L. Ron Hubbard's son, one of his sons, was gay. That he was trying to basically become... Like, he was grooming his son to become his successor. And... Essentially, I mean, I don't know if most of you know this, but L. Ron Hubbard was, in most of his writings, very against homosexuality, because he essentially took the worst of pop psychology of the 1950s and included that in his weirdo cult. And part of that is that homosexuality is an abomination and blah, 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 and you're a suppressive person if you're gay. And then guess what? He has a gay son who killed himself. Mm. Which is just like, hello, of course that's going to fucking happen. Like... This is the inevitable course of actions when a person has a very rigid and terrible ideology that they force on their own kids who might actually just, as a bit of irony or maybe cosmic justice, are exactly what you had feared that they would be. So, yeah. L. Ron Hubbard, that monster of monsters, also drove his own son to suicide. So, yeah. I just made your day.
This episode is depressing.
It is depressing. Do we have any good news?
We got a good donation that made us feel really good.
Yeah, but apart from that, I mean, like, in the world.
In the world?
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, there's the whole, the European Union might collapse. And,
right.
That's going to probably force another recession on us. So send your monies now, everybody. Is there any bit of good news? Well, that France thing was pretty good news. I mean, France might be on the list, and you know, Canada's on that list of marriage equality. We have marriage equality here despite having a conservative government who would like to reopen the debate on abortion.
Actually, a few years ago, there was, I'm sure some of the listeners know who Annie Sprinkle is, but she was basically a porn star who is a big advocate for gay marriage, and she's really cool. She's just a cool theater, fancy, interesting person, and as a piece of performance art, she was doing 7 weddings, and all in different colors, and she was doing them all across the states, and she did one in Canada too, and they were these events, these public weddings, where she was ceremoniously marrying her partner, her female partner, to kind of talk about and raise the issue of marriage equality. And what's interesting is that the wedding that they had in Calgary, it was actually called the Yellow Wedding because it was organized by the One Yellow Rabbit Theater Company. And, you know, they did yellow. They had to go through all the colors, so if somebody would have got yellow. And the marriage they did in Canada, because just recently before that, they had legalized marriage equality in Canada. They actually had a legally binding wedding ceremony in Canada, which was kind of cool that this whole tour about marriage equality and I was really proud to know that I got to participate in the one wedding that was going to be like
legit
and allowed.
Did she know this before?
Yeah, she knew this before. Right. She knew it before. It was really cool, actually. It was really cool to get to participate in that and meet her and you know, and I think back to it now and I think, you know, that was, how old was I then? What, 16, 17?
Is she mostly straight porn or?
You know, I don't know. I didn't look too much up. I mostly looked at her photography, which is all really interesting.
Yeah. Now I kind of want to look at the porn now. I'm very curious.
Yeah, you should. You should. Look
you
up
should.
Annie Sprinkle.
I like that. Yeah, you should. Yeah, look up some porn. Nice. Well, I know what tonight's going to be all about. Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Looking up some porn.
But it just makes me think, you know, years ago where we were and now where we are, you know, with the Annie Sprinkle weddings and trying to raise the idea of marriage equality and how, you know, I felt like we were getting more ground and leverage then than we are now. I feel like we've slipped back quite a bit in the last few years, and it's depressing. It's depressing to think that, you know, 2 steps forward and 3 steps back.
Well, like I said before, I mean, any momentum you have is going to be countered by that, because, you know, I won't lie to you when I say that most of the people that are against marriage equality are octogenarians or slightly younger. And they're not dying because we keep giving them medicine. We give racist, bigoted, jackasses medicine to keep them, you know, from dying.
Well, I'm glad to know that we treat them better than they treat everyone else.
Yeah, well, you know what? Like, that's the whole thing. Like, part of growing up as a society and as a global community means that some of us have to take the steps first, have to be courageous first. I'm glad that Canada was on that list. Maybe not the first, but one of those countries where, you know, like, we couldn't deny it anymore. Where we had this idea that, oh yeah, everybody gets equal rights and that's it. That's all you need to really say. And we did it. And that's great. And if anybody tries to fuck with that, they're screwed. Like, I don't care how it's framed. I don't care how many old people fucking support repealing that kind of shit. We will revolt. We will, like, rise up. And we'll do, like, just those brave men and women in North Carolina, they're like, yeah, arrest me. Try to fucking stop me. And you know what? Like, I got to say a shout out to you guys. You're probably not listening to the show, but holy fucking shit, you are the brave ones. I mean, we talked about it yesterday in terms of coming out as atheist and how brave you need to be. This is another instance of bravery right there. And standing up for your rights often means that you will come face to face with the powerful boot of authority, and don't let them crush your neck.
Mm-hmm.
And you were more powerful than you could possibly imagine. You know, like you can win. It's just that it's going to take some time. I don't know how much time it's going to take. 10 years, I hope. That's the limit, because I think that the worst offenders will probably by then have croaked, and then maybe the young people will start realizing that, okay, maybe you don't like to vote and shit, but it fucking makes a difference. That's what made gay marriage illegal in North Carolina, voting. So anybody who is in North Carolina who didn't vote on Amendment 1, shame on you. Shame on you. I just want to come over to your house and punch you in the mouth. But I'm in a punch you in the mouth kind of mood to better
you really
today.
Are. I feel like, you know, maybe I should leave you alone.
I'm going to go out and punch everybody
in the
mouth.
With your sprinkle porn for
I'm
going to
watch some porn. I'm going to punch people in the mouth. That's my plan for today. Well, after I post up the show.
All right.
Then I'm going to punch people in the mouth.
All right. We have to post, because we still don't have internet. You're going to have to post up the show at the library. So I do
library.
Ask that you wait until you leave the library to start punching people in the mouth, because I would like to be invited back there.
That's cool. I'm sure that there's a homeless shelter real close, so I'm going to punch them in the mouth. They don't have feelings. No, I'm just joking. I wanted to say something outrageous and cruel. No, of course they have feelings. They're the dejected ones. And they live real close to us. Did you say you wanted to volunteer at that soup kitchen?
Yeah, I'm going to go apply when we get more settled in. But right now, it's a little hard to want to go volunteer at the soup kitchen.
Yeah,
when
we're the soup kitchen.
When I feel a bit like we should be going there and getting soup.
Seriously. Okay, you know what? Let's wrap up the show. I'd like to thank everybody who's a contributing member, who's a hardcore member, or a new member that just bought a regular membership. Thank you, guys. You make this possible. I'm crazy enough to think that I should be making a living doing this. And so far, you've been supporting this delusion. So thank you so much. Thanks again, Carissa. Go check out her vlog. So go to carissahendricks.com. She has a link for her geek project. And also give her some suggestions, because I'm sure that all of you are geeks. If you're listening to my show, odds are you're fucking geek. So if she wants to become one of us, I say that we should support her. Yeah. That just means more video games and Star Trek movies for me. So I think that's
pretty
all good.
Pretty excited, yeah.
I'm more excited than you
are. It's not so much that I'm not a geek. It's more like I am a geek, and I have this negative feeling when I allow myself to do geeky things. I'm just trying to overcome it.
You know, it's not just that. It's the fact that also, if you're a hot girl trying to get into the geek scene, you're going to be more scrutinized.
That's true.
You know, people are... there's obviously lots of hot chicks trying to get into that shit. You know, like the kind of like, oh, I play a video game.
Although, you know what? I've noticed from the comments on the videos and some of my private messages I've got so far that, you know, people are really into the project and they feel like it's very genuine, and I've only gotten one or two negative comments so far. I'm sure that'll explode.
What was the most negative comment, by the way? What did they say?
I don't know. I've been blocking them out. I'm mostly just trying to... I'm not trying to...
Yeah, you don't deal with negativity too good.
I don't.
So, yeah.
I don't.
Really not. So
as soon as I see, like, ass or fake or whatever, I just browse over it.
Well, here's the thing, actually. I was thinking about this last night, is that when you... The worst of the comments is only a fraction of what you would ever hear in person. Because remember, people are just feel entitled to say the most cruel things online. And that's actually the worst that you'll ever hear. Think about that. I mean, if you can stand the criticism of the internet, you can stand any criticism. No one will be able to touch you because you withstood the criticism of the internet. And with that in mind, I actually feel like I'm very sheltered because none of you have ever said something negative. What the fuck?
That's not true.
How many negative things have people said?
There's enough.
I can count on one hand, and it's been like fucking 5 years I've been doing this. All of you are too nice, so I appreciate your niceness. It's probably the reason I'm still doing this. If I was getting one third of the comments were negative, I'd probably be like, fuck that shit. Fuck that noise. I'm just as sensitive as you. I'm just better at hiding it. And plus, I channel it into sort of anger that later comes into the show as like vitriol.
For me, it hits me in the heart. Like every time I see something, especially if it's like there's a few things specifically that if people mention, I'm not going to say what they are because I don't want to open myself up that way.
Of course not. You don't want to fucking like, it's your Achilles heel.
Yeah,
you don't
but there's
it.
A few things that, you know, even if strangers say, I'm just like, ruined my day. But you know, the good things, I've gotten a lot of good things, so
it's the internet. Don't let it ruin your day. Okay, yeah. With that, my name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Krista Hendricks.
Have a good atheist day, everybody. Up, you know.
Get pumped! Pump up the jam, yo! Pump it up, yo! Pump it, and this is my something.
Okay, first of all, aggression. Like, are you rushing through that?
Aggression.
And you gotta stop hitting that. I'm gonna beat you later. I'm gonna so beat you later.
I can't help it. I like the taste of
go this like, and then you're not talking when you drink. Yeah, there you go.
Oh God,
you're
the
not
beer
make, like,
is so bad. Oh God, Boxer Lager, you are not the beer of champions. Maybe champion.
You know what? There was this one beer that was 8% for like $7.
Oh, let's get it next time.
Yuck!
Can't be worse than this.
Well, could be.
I don't think it's possible to have worse beer than this. Oh God.
Okay. Stop complaining. Ew. We're about to do the show. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Be quiet, get ready, get ready, get ready. Be quiet.
You be quiet. Like, sorry. You, okay. All right. I'm cool.